Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I'm starting to think that might change this to everyday people. Might be changing it, everybody. Be on the lookout. Let's get into, we're going to get into some fun stuff this hour. Coming up, we are going to tackle the very difficult topic of tickling. We will tackle tickling.
Tackle tickling?
We are doing
that. Oh, boy.
Sort of. We should actually get our HR department involved. We'll get into that a little bit later. It's going to be fun. Also got a DIY Father's Day. Natural Light made a workbench dartboard hybrid.
A beer company made a workbench hybrid.
We shall discuss all that coming up.
Their lightly flavored water.
Yes.
Right. We got that coming up. We're also going to get into our newsletter and talk about bluegrass at the lake. Plenty of fun stuff coming up. But right now, I have been dying to talk to somebody about this for about 3 or 4 days now.
And you waited?
I couldn't help myself. Because I wanted to do it in real time. I wanted to do it on the air.
Oh, very nice.
Young Guns 3. Plot details, timeline, cast members are starting to be revealed, and it is all coming from the director of it and the guy who has created the third project, Emilio Estevez.
Really?
Emilio, who of course famously played Billy the Kid in the Young Guns movie, has been working on this. Has been something that has been going on behind the scenes for probably 10 years. And I think that this is something, I know I've talked about this, I don't know how much I've talked about it with you guys, as far as, well, what has Emilio Estevez been up to? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the projects he's been doing. He's been working really hard on this. Now, there's been some funding issues here and there and everything, but the reason I'm bringing it up is because this has gotten picked up now. It has gotten momentum.
Okay.
It sounds like there is a script in place. Lou Diamond Phillips and some other actors have already committed to being in it if need be.
Okay.
They've said they want to be in it, certainly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be. We do know that Billy the Kid will be in it, and that Emilio will play him again, and that he will be directing it.
Okay.
Wow. In an interview with Josh Horowitz, Happy Sad Confused, Estevez revealed that he has been going through a potential casting list for Young Guns 3, which he got the night before I arrived here.
Ooh, very fresh, yeah.
He said, quote, "I'm going to start going through those and start putting together who I think are candidates." Mm. He confirmed that Phillips and Christian Slater will both return.
Really?
Oh, Christian nice. Slater, of course, famously played the young another young I can't remember the character's name, but he was really good. Bootwhip Bill or something like that. It was a great role.
6 Reasons Why the West Was Wild. Tagline for Young Guns 2.
I'll make you famous. I don't care if those movies were good or bad or what everybody says about them.
I love those movies.
I love them. Love them. I still watch them.
I don't think I've seen them. I mean, I've heard the title, but
it's weird to say this because our generation's outsiders is really the outsiders. Young Guns 3 was a little bit older version of that, mm-hmm. where it's not just the main guys that you think of on the poster and everything. Right. You got a bunch of great actors just playing small roles throughout that whole entire series.
Yeah, it's
both
interesting.
Both movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The second one ended really weird. and it took for movies that you needed to really use some imagination for, boy, that second one end. You really happen to work hard on the imagination.
That's probably why there wasn't a 3 until now. Had to work out the
is
the
Kiefer
ending
Sutherland coming back?
I hope so. I'll say that, in part, Seth, I think part of the reason that I can make an argument for a third one is because of the ending of the second one.
Oh, there you go. Wrap up some loose ends there, yeah.
And I will just say that, and I've said this many times, I will continue to say it, if you are a marketing or a sales executive right now, all you need to do is nostalgia. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, you start with nostalgia, and whatever you're doing is going to do well. That is just where we have gone as a. And yeah. This happens more often than not, usually, but it's being more noticed now because it's our age range that they're pandering to.
Right.
And this is the first time our age has been pandered to, really. So it's noteworthy for that. And a lot of people in our age range that are in media and mm-hmm. talking about these things. And so, of course, they're going to be pandering to it a little bit more. And I've said this earlier, and it's the only time I'll ever say this in my life. Pander to me. Please pander to me. I love
it. We want nostalgia.
I don't want just Young Guns 3. I want Young Guns 3 and 4. I want two of these. Yes, please keep it coming. I can't get enough.
Oh, boy.
Kenny gets nothing, you know.
They say there's not a lot of advantages of getting older or whatever. I have found one. I have found one. This is something I'm enjoying about being in my 40s, is being pandered to. I want more of it. I'm excited about this. I don't know.
Very cool.
We'll see what happens. And there is still movement still happening here and everything, so we'll see what happens, what goes with it, mm-hmm. and such. But
I'll add it to my movie list.
Tony, how long is your movie list, Melissa?
Well, I mean,
about as long as my book list.
I had to add Ferris Bueller's Day Off this morning. Yes, Greg, I'll try to add it to a movie list somewhere, sometime, at some point.
I'm going to say this, so you don't have to do that. Everyone who talks about, there's a lot of movies from the 80s that I have not seen and that I didn't see at the time, just for whatever reason. And I tell people that, and they're like, oh, you got to see So What? I say, no, I don't. Because I have seen some of the movies from the 1980s, and I'm like, No, too much questionable stuff there. I don't need to see that. I can just pass on that one.
It's kind of sad to think. I think you could make an argument. There's no more generation of movies that you can't go back to that have aged more poorly than the 80s.
I think you're right.
I don't know, westerns.
Sure.
Could also be another
50s, 60s, 70s. There's going to be arguments made.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, as a collective, like the big movies that people. Revenge of the Nerds. Everybody remembers that movie. No, you shouldn't. No. Oh, dear God.
No.
That movie. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That movie maybe alone might be, cancel the whole darn generation.
They're very much of their time,
Yeah.
And it seems like the 80s a little bit more so. I don't know. Because you can go back, and if you go to the 70s, right, you'll see, the fashions will be the very 70s and all that kind of stuff. They seem to be tackling more interesting issues in the 70s than they did in the 80s.
In the 80s, in the 60s and 70s, the chances they were taking were about pushing film in a different direction,
right,
and everything. In the 80s, the chances they were taking were we ran out of ideas.
How can we make money?
and the thing about the 80s that are different to me, and you can make this argument for any generation, I won't fight you, but to me, especially in the 80s, we knew better. We knew better. We knew there's none of this. Well, it was a different time. No, we knew better in the 80s, man.
Yeah, but that's happening again.
Absolutely.
It
I'm
is.
Just saying it's never more prevalent.
And I agree with that. And I would say that that's a cyclical thing. Because in the 60s and the 70s, they were going, no, these things are not okay, and women shouldn't be treated like this, and they should be able to vote, and we should be able to treat that with all people with respect. Yeah. And then in the 80s, it was a boomerang of, oh, well, now we did that. We got to go back to the other way.
Well, and I think it has a lot to do with the political climate, too.
Agreed.
Very much. Whatever. Then, yeah. If you look at what movies are being made at a specific time, and you see, well, who's in power at the time, then it's, oh, yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a connection there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it's happened again, where we had mm-hmm. a little bit more enlightenment and a little more steps forward in the late 90s and early 2000s, and now we're back into that boomerang again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a similar thing is going on with a lot of the stuff in the entertainment industry, especially in movies. I think a good example of this is the current Snow White movie, and them wanting to update that and try to not just modernize it, but make it so that little girls of any different color, of any different creed and hair color and hairstyle, could look at Snow White and they imagine themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of that could happen. My little sister grew up with not one Disney princess did she look at and think she could be that princess. There wasn't a single one. Hopefully it's different now. At the same time, you're seeing that these movies are not doing well. and money rules all.
Exactly.
Yeah. No amount of wokeness.
Especially in Hollywood,
No amount of wokeness or canceling or any of this kind of words or word of the day stuff is going to change that part of it. And that is one of the things that I do worry about. Because I representation matters. You want everybody to see your movies.
The caveat to that, though, is the fact that there are so many movies being made now that are not being made in Hollywood. Are being made,
very true.
We could make a movie, guys, with our phones. Yes.
That's right.
And put it out there. And if it was a hit, so Hollywood's got to step up.
I got a great script for us.
Awesome.
We all play bank robbers.
This sounds original.
And we pull off one of the biggest heists in American history. But as we're getting to our safe house, we hear on the radio, because this is how old the script is, that the bank robbers got away and half of the money is counterfeit. And don't know which half is which.
Oh, okay. All right.
So now then we turn on each other because split it. And
not to spoil it, but no, that didn't happen.
Okay, so can we set up with Sheriff Becker which bank we're going to heist?
Probably a good idea.
Talk with him first.
We should just go in and do it. That'd be bad.
We're just filming a movie, guys. It's okay.
Sure you are. I would cash, Sean. This is either a great idea or a horrible one. I cannot tell. I'm too biased. I think on it. There is a Kiss biopic being put into place and being worked on right now. Not shocking to anybody. The only shocking thing is they didn't do this sooner. But they have cast Paul Stanley, and it's Nick Jonas.
Oh.
Nick Jonas, of course, famous from the Jonas Brothers
and everything. Right. Yeah.
And has, since getting away from the Disney stuff, the Jonas Brothers have certainly done a much more, I wouldn't say adult stuff, but they've done things for an
mature stuff. An adult
audience.
Yeah. I think you can make an argument, and granted, everybody, I know nothing about the Jonas Brothers or Disney even really that much. Disney Channel shows and Disney stars and stuff, I should say. I know Disney, but not that. But I will say that they seem to have just kind of followed their fans. Their fans have gotten older, and they've gotten older, and it's just kind of they seem to go on with that. I don't know that they've necessarily pushed boundaries or done. I want to be hesitant how I say that because I look at like somebody like Britney Spears or some other Disney stars that really went a completely different direction, Miley Cyrus and some of that.
Sure.
I don't know that they've gone that route, but they've definitely aged with their audience, and they do a lot of self-deprecating stuff, and obviously they're talented. They can sing.
For sure,
Nick Jonas doesn't look that different from Paul Stanley, so there is that, too.
There's a resemblance,
I would have liked to have seen them cast a Jewish man. I would like a little bit more of that. In this day and age, nobody blinks an eye if somebody's playing a Jew that isn't Jewish. It happens literally in almost every movie. It is more uncommon to see an actual Jewish person playing a Jewish person. In film, than anything. It's honestly like gotten to a point where I don't even bother talking about it anymore because nobody cares. Like if you were casting somebody to play an African American and they were not African American, people would lose their minds. Emma Stone is still dealing with stuff because she played a person that had a bit of Hawaiian culture in them or something, and she didn't have enough look for the character. But I can cast a blonde blue haired guy as a Jew and nobody's going to blink an eye. I'm sorry, I'm the only person on this hill, and I'll stop. But I have this microphone in front of me, and I cannot help myself. It's insulting, and nobody gives a damn. So that's also just as insulting to me. But Paul Stanley, Nick Jonas seems like a pretty good fit. I am much more curious about where they're casting Gene Simmons. I can't imagine who you're going to get to play Gene Simmons. I'll tell you.
Do they need a fake tongue? Is that how do they get that prehensile tongue out there?
Yeah. I'll tell you this: I'll be shocked if Gene Simmons is okay with whoever they cast.
Oh no, he won't be.
They could cast Gene himself, and I don't think that he'd be happy with it. I don't think he will.
He's a jerk. That's why.
I'm a Kiss guy. I like Kiss. I'm a fan of the band and everything. I like the idea of them doing a biopic. I like where this is going. I'm just very nervous about the casting. You may not have a fan base more ready to pounce on this movie than that fan base.
Boy, yeah.
And here's something else. when you're making these movies that are biopics on the artists or that, why not look more into the fan base? Why not lean more that into
sense,
that?
Right?
Isn't this who you're making the movie for?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I can't understand. I'm not saying that you go to every single KISS Army member and ask them their opinion, but why not surveys to the KISS Army website or different things like that?
It's an input. Yeah.
Imagine, like, you're hoping that this is going to sell. And I think the biggest problem, one of the biggest mistakes that these production companies make is, oh, well, we've got that audience. Let's get the other parts of the audience. We already got the KISS fans. They're going to come to this movie. No, you don't.
They may not.
They may not, man. Yeah. You know, especially you're going to cast somebody. Again, Nick Jonas could maybe be the perfect person to play Paul Stanley. Mm-hmm. But if you're not asking, because that's what it is. We see this in sports all the time. Oh, we're going to make a head coaching decision. Let's go talk to the star player. Now, the star player shouldn't be necessarily making the yes or no on this, but getting their feedback. Mm-hmm. What does it hurt? What does it hurt?
Right.
It doesn't hurt anything.
It doesn't mean you have to take it.
Yeah.
And right. But then they feel invested.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I have the perfect solution to this. They should base it on the comic book from Marvel in the late 70s.
Oh, wow. There you go. Wow.
And because that was crazy and insane. It totally KISS, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It totally represents KISS. So do that.
We have got here a list of the best TV dads of all time. Time. and they are in alphabetical order. So
Good.
My first do name that, first, yeah. So it's not in any particular order. But I do want audience participation on this one. I want to know who your favorite TV dad is of all time. there's a lot of great ones, but I think mine is right at the top, and it just alphabetically works out that way. Mr. Al Bundy from Married with Children. I love Al.
Is he a cautionary tale?
Yes.
Of a father.
Definitely.
Don't be like him.
Definitely. But God, I love it.
But still, he's very funny.
And I love that these just happen to go this way in alphabetical order. You go from Al Bundy to Andy Taylor from The Andy Griffith Show. You could not have more two
opposite. Different. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Great whistler.
Yeah.
Great dad. Great
nice,
dad.
Nice.
Great dad. Archie Bunker from All in the Family. That's a good one. That's a good one. Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers. Fantastic dad. Fantastic dad. Really good dad.
That's awesome.
I love Homer. You guys know how I feel about that.
Right.
He's way better than Homer in many ways. Way, many, many ways. Carl Winslow from Family Matters. It's a good one.
Oh, that was good. Dad. I liked him.
I don't know any of these dads yet.
See, you're
hopefully we're going to get to
you missed out, Melissa. You missed out.
Dan Connor from Roseanne.
John Goodman's good in anything.
I love John Goodman.
Yep.
And a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Tanner from Full House.
Yeah.
Him, I did see that. I did see Full House.
Full House a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I was far more interested in Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Oh, okay.
Well, characters.
That's fair. That's fair.
Fred Sanford from Sanford and Son. That's an interesting one.
That's an interesting one.
I mean, you know, for the most part, sure. But also, I don't know.
Boy, this list is interesting.
God, I wish I could do an impersonation of him. Herman Munster from The Munsters.
A literal monster.
Yeah. But also one of the better dads on this list.
And actually, he's probably, of the ones you've listed, he's probably one of the best at actually being a father.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Homer Simpson from The Simpsons.
Of course.
Definitely got his issues and everything. But boy, does he have his kids back. Like, he really does. And I wanted to say that about Al Bundy, because Al Bundy, obviously a very bad dad and all those things, and did some pretty very questionable, if not wrong things with his kids. But anytime one of his kids was in trouble, anytime somebody like a bully or anybody like that happened, mm-hmm. Al was the first one there. And they always had that in the story. They could make fun of each other. Nobody could rip on each other like they could. But as soon as somebody from the outside started ripping on one of their family members or something, like a pack of wolves around each other and everything. And I love that about
that show. It's the relationship between me and my older brother.
Howard Cunningham from Happy Days.
Oh.
I never saw
Tom
Happy
Bosley,
Days,
so. Man.
I do know Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley played. Yeah, he was. That is a good one because he was fantastic.
Jason Seaver from Growing Pains. Mike Brady from The Brady Bunch.
Ooh,
was he even really in the show much?
What? Who?
Mike Brady.
No, probably not, because I know that Robert Reed hated it.
Yeah.
He hated playing that character.
Yeah.
He hated it.
You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell.
It's probably why you didn't see him very much.
Phil Dunphy from Modern Family. Philip Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Non-traditional father. Yeah.
Red Foreman from That 70s Show. That's a good one.
Boy, I have to say, That show was, you know, it was fine. It was everything. But they hit the Midwestern father perfectly, and he played it.
He played
absolutely
it.
Perfectly.
Perfect, yes. Yep. That is one I can say I have seen a lot of. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, whenever I think about that show now, I barely think about the kids on that show.
Right.
It's those two. It's
the parents.
It's the parents.
They were funny. Yeah. Yeah. They were the best.
Red and Kitty.
Yes, they did. Stole that whole entire show. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Tim Taylor from Home Improvement.
when he's looking over the fence and having the conversation
with Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tony Maselli from Who's the Boss? Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Another person who hated the role he was playing.
Really?
Yes. I'm blanking on his name right now, the actor that played him. But yeah, he hated that.
Hugh Beaumont.
He hated playing that, yes.
And of course, we want your... Do you guys have any honorable mentions? Any?
I have just a comment on this. Interestingly enough, okay? I'm thinking back to when we did the Mother's Day one. We did the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Best TV moms. The criteria for these two are very, very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because all the moms that we talked about were like, you know, traditional mom stuff, you know, caring, the care group, you know, pulling the family out of the wacky situations, you know, that they would get themselves into. And on this list, the fathers tend to be the comic relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
They tend to, so a lot of them aren't really good dads traditionally in the traditional sense of being good fathers,
right?
But they're the funny ones, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Which is it seems to be more the criteria that they were funny than they were, because the moms were not considered funny. They were like the rock that held the family together.
Mm-hmm.
Really the model that Ozzie and Harriet did. Really?
In a lot of ways. You know, boy, they haven't changed much since then. You're absolutely right. The bumbling father and the wife who's got it all, the mother who's got it all together, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see, I'm not seeing one to rival any of those.
We will take a quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. And we're going to just real quickly lead you into our news and sports break and everything. I wanted to talk a little bit about Bluegrass at the Lake. And, of course, our WFHR newsletter, Melissa. Uh-huh. We got a new one, new edition coming out tomorrow.
That's right. Tomorrow at noon, it will land in your inbox. If you've signed up at WFHR.com, all you have to do is give us your email. Honestly, that's all you have to give us. But if you want to also include any suggestions, recommendations of things that you want to see in the newsletter, we're happy to get feedback.
Please feel free to reach out to us anytime with any of that. A big shout out to everybody that works so hard on this newsletter. We really appreciate all the effort and work put into it. It is your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news. Mm-hmm. Get on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter. We will meet you there, everybody. And got a new edition coming out tomorrow in your email box.
Yes, indeed.
I did have somebody ask me, Melissa, a while ago, and I'm just now remembering, about old editions. And being able to look up old articles. And I just encourage them to go to the website and take a look through there.
All of the articles are there. I don't know that old editions of because it's a digital newsletter. So unless I still have them in my inbox that I can forward to you, which I have done and I can do.
And that's what I told her. I was like, hey, you go ahead and hit me up. I'll forward them to you. That's no problem and everything.
So. Yeah, but absolutely. All the articles are on our website. I think everybody in the reporter pool of us are eight reporters in newsrooms of one. The articles appear on everybody's websites. So it's not you. If you go to WFHR.com and look at the news tab, you're not just going to see ones written here, but you'll see them from all over Civic.
Mm-hmm.
Network.
Yeah, head on over there today, WFHR.com, and spread the word about it. Everybody, make sure that everybody knows about our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got Bluegrass at the Lake kicking off tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. It's here. It's almost here.
Going on Thursday through Saturday over at beautiful Lake Wazicha. Encourage you to go to bluegrassatthelake.com to find out more information. Everything that is going on is going to be exciting on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have wonderful food and raffle and merchandise going on over there, they got their 50-50 draw. drawing that'll be happening. Be sure to check that out. They're going to have a Touch a Truck event happening in the field.
Yeah.
That's and that's from 10 to 2 on Saturday. That one's free and open to the public.
That's right.
There is St. John's Pie Ladies. They're going to be down there. Yeah. Again.
Pie. Seth, there's pie.
And of course, the music. There is going to be some amazing musicians down there going to be performing. We've gotten to talk to some of them around here, and we've had a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
All of this going on, and it's such an amazing cause. It's such a great group of people and a great organization among many organizations, right. many things that they're doing for this.
Yeah. They're donating to, I want to say it's the crisis team this
yes,
year.
Yes, the CISM for Wood County. Which
CISM,
yes, thank you. We talked to Carolyn yesterday, of course, on the Sunrise Show, and she mentioned that that is actually expanding to Portage County.
Oh, good.
So they're the whole coverage area, and that's one of the reasons they've been supporting them the last couple of years, is so they can be able to do that, which I think is just fantastic.
Oh, it's really important.
It is.
Our first responders are such a vital and important part of our community, and we need to be able to support and lift them
up
so that they can help take care of us.
That's right.
They've done some great work with them over the years, and they're going to continue to. And a big thank you to them picking this and using this, along with they're helping out our Southford County Humane Society as well. And shout out to our Denise and the gang over there. They'll be joining us tomorrow for our Pet of the Week.
Yeah.
And all in honor and memory of Brittany Saylor and the causes she would have wanted. To donate
that
to.
Is right.
It is already the 9th annual Bluegrass at the Lake.
Amazing.
We want you to attend, make plans. If you can make it every day, that's great. If you can only make it for an hour, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
And you know, you heard our forecast coming up. If you were listening at the top of the show, bring an umbrella, bring a poncho, or you know, just be prepared to take your shoes off and dance barefoot in the rain.
You'll feel good. You'll feel good doing it.
I want to.
Find out more at bluegrassatthelake.com. Again, Bluegrass at the Lake going on Thursday through Saturday over at Lake Wazeecha right here in Rapids. And how
follow them on Facebook.
Yes, follow them on Facebook. It's a great way to reach out to them if you need to, and also find out all the cool things that are going on, especially if there is any weather situations
that. They'll put updates on there.
And how would you like to go for free, everybody?
Ooh. Well, I would like to go for free, James.
Well, can't.
Oh,
dang it.
You work here. You can't. But
you cannot win.
But other people can, like you out there. We want you to call up 715-424-2600, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Call up. Name us maybe one of your favorite bluegrass or folk artists or songs or one of your favorite things about Bluegrass at the Lake. And if you haven't attended before, let us know something you are looking forward to about Bluegrass at the Lake.
Easy questions.
We want you to go. We want you to go, everyone.
Call up 715-424-2600 and join the conversation, and we'll get you going. We'll get you tickets to go to Bluegrass at the Lake. Let's go ahead and do this on the air. Good morning. What you got an answer for us?
Yes, we're Bluegrass at the Lake. I have not been before because I haven't lived here that long, but I'm looking forward to going.
All right.
Wonderful.
Very cool.
Fantastic.
Very
cool.
We're going to send you for free.
Yep. Can I get your first name?
Judy.
Judy, thank you so much for listening and playing along, Judy. That's awesome. I guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Oh, you are. Yep. And you're new to the area. Which area are you living in?
In Wisconsin Rapids.
Perfect.
Okay, all
wonderful.
Right. That is a Rapids winner. All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Judy, thank you so much for listening. Just hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you off air, but you just won yourself some tickets to go to Bluegrass at the Lake.
Nice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll be back after our break coming up here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday. Socrates wondered about this topic 2,000 years ago, and Charles Darwin racked his brain about it. What is a tickle? And why are we so sensitive to it? We do not shy away from the heavy topics around here at WFHR. We will face them with you as a family, as a team, as a community. Let's talk about this. Why can't you tickle yourself? And how come some people aren't ticklish at all, while others seem to be like the wind hits them and they immediately feel ticklish? Neuroscientist Constantine Kilantine, what a name, believes we should tackle tickling research more seriously. And she's working with colleagues in a new tickle lab at Rabholm University to get some answers. A tickle lab.
I hope they serve pickles there in the tickle lab.
Got it right. Quote, it's a complex interplay of motor, social, and neurological development and evolutionary aspects, says Killian, who says the subject is, quote, under-researched. If we know how tickling works at the brain level, it could provide a lot of insight into other topics in neuroscience.
That's true.
Tickling can strengthen the bond between parents and children, for instance, but how does the brain process ticklish stimuli, and what is the relationship with the development of our nervous system? By investigating this, you can learn more about brain development in children.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Wow.
Here's another part I don't know if it's common knowledge. We know that apes such as bonobos and gorillas respond to ticklish touches, and even rats have been observed to being so. Huh. So we're not even the only species that it gets ticklish.
How about that?
From an evolutionary perspective, what is the purpose of tickling? What do we get out of this? The fact that you cannot tickle yourself is also interesting from a scientific point of view.
Uh-huh.
Quote, because we know when we were, when and where we are going to tickle ourselves, the brain can't switch off the tickling reflex in advance.
Ah!
But we don't know what exactly happens in our brain when we are tickled. So that's like we have one piece of this puzzle. We don't really have a whole lot else to it.
Exactly.
Kilantine urges that these questions have not yet been answered because it has not been clearly defined what tickling actually is within the scientific community.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference between when you tickle someone hard on your armpits and tickling someone's back or feet lightly with a feather.
Mm.
The first sensation is understudied, while we know much more about the second feather-like stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So they created a chair with a plate that contains two holes in it. Study participants will place their feet through the holes, where a mechanical stick will tickle their soles. The way every tickle experiment is the same. That way every tickle experiment is the same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's nothing more reassuring than just stick your feet in this hole. You know, nothing bad's going to happen.
I wonder how much that plays into things,
the
too.
The psychological effect of, not knowing when you're going to get touched. Or, like, that would totally freak some people out.
Yeah, for sure.
The neuroscientists record exactly what happens in the brain and almost immediately checks all other physical reactions, such as heart rate, sweating, breathing, or laughter and screaming reactions.
Wow.
Quote, by incorporating this method of tickling into a proper experiment, we can have tickling research seriously, the university media released. Not only will we be able to truly understand tickling, but also our brains, because this is really what this is about, is figuring out the brain more.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But why is it only the feet?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there the most ticklish, maybe?
Mm. Yeah, for some people.
For some people, yeah.
I read two different articles on this, and I didn't see anything about that. Why the feet? That's a good question, though. It seems like children are more ticklish than adults, but maybe it's just that the real world conditioning has tampered down the childish mirth through the years.
Could be.
Maybe the experiments in the lab will spur people to be more inclined to tickle their loved ones or tickle their own funny bone. My mom has three sisters, and for a very long time, they were as thick as thieves. Nothing could. They had odd chemistry and a way of reading each other.
Mm.
And I know this because for two Christmases in a row, they thought it'd be hilarious when they got bored and had a little bit of wine. Each one of them grabbed a limb, while one of them would tickle me.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm ticklish anymore because they did this so much that I actually don't think I'm that ticklish anymore. I'm sure some parts of me, but I'm numb to it almost. And I guarantee you somewhere my mother is laughing her tail off right now.
Remembering.
She has no idea why. Yeah. You said you had some, Melissa.
Well, you know, I got tickled so much as a kid that from my older brother and probably, you know, other family members, but I learned how to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could stop being ticklish, so that they would stop tormenting me.
Right.
Because I was, like, you know, there, I don't know. Tickling is it can be fun. Obviously, mm-hmm. there are, but when you take it too far, it can also be torture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a weapon against people. in a way, or children, right. I guess, is a better way of looking at it.
Kids on kid crime. I mean, yeah. It's something that we do all the time as kids, so we're going to threaten to tickle each other or mm-hmm. something.
But there's, it can also be fun, you know? Yeah. Like, I have a fun relationship with Quinn, who is Laura's youngest daughter, and she loves being tickled. But, you know, I never do it where it hurts.
Right.
And that's the difference. Because that was something that happened to me as a child, and I'm like, it's not fun then.
Well, it becomes invasive.
Yes.
After a certain point, mm-hmm. and there's always a point.
Yes, where when you're overstimulated.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I'm sure it's different for many different people. You know, we're all at different levels on this kind of mm-hmm. thing. But yeah, there really is to the point where it does become a problem mm-hmm. that you should know. You need to stop. Yeah.
But it's interesting that I literally, like, it. I felt like it was a superpower when I was a kid. Like, I can turn it off. You can tickle me, and I won't
that
react.
That is a superpower.
Unless you're, like, hurting me. And then that's not tickling anymore.
But
it is something later in life. Like, I would have liked to have had that with my partner. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it would have been a fun, right. like, a, you know, like.
Well, an example.
Yeah, it's roughhouse.
An example. Sure. Yeah, right. An example.
Yeah, that was a hard no.
With Beth, when we first met and were dating, she was not ticklish. She is very ticklish now.
To her enjoyment.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
I've heard of this happening with women specifically mm-hmm. after childbirth. I've only heard like three times. That's the
right,
third.
Yeah.
That's the third one.
Right.
But I've heard of this happening a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Do you think that this is something that deserves or should be researched?
I do.
We should be putting time into it and everything.
It's one of those fascinating things because it's all brain.
Yeah.
It's all brain. This is not the fact that we're talking about you being able to turn it off. Someone who is not ticklish becomes ticklish. That means it's all here. It's mm-hmm. all in the head, right? And that's a fascinating thing because they're not just going to learn about tickling. They're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff about the brain.
Which
it's all connected.
Which we don't know. You know, there's so much about the brain that we don't know. James is trying to tickle his own
foot.
Feet.
It's not nothing. See,
here,
it's
do you want me to? Do you want me to tickle your feet?
I did. I do have clean socks on. I do. Okay.
No, see,
it worked.
Yeah,
he wasn't expecting that. Our own experiment.
No. I actually thought, oh, I'm good.
He's blushing.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to get me. I didn't think it was. I am still a little.
All right, all right. Now everybody knows James's feet are ticklish.
At least
it's
his
right
feet
above the heel.
Yeah, there you go. Right heel,
right in the arch.
I didn't feel it at first. It was right there. That guy. I will say too, and I don't know. I'm just enjoying so much of where we are in science and where we are technologically, where we're able to even do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have the amount of time and energy to be able to do this.
Right. Like, we're not too busy trying to hunt down food.
Right, exactly. And for everything, like anybody out there that thinks this is a silly subject and, well, we shouldn't be wasting time, effort, or money into it, I'm not going to fight you too hard on that. But I will say this. You put the brain in front of you, okay? We got this, and this figured out. Well, the only way to figure out these other things is to figure this one thing out mm-hmm. and this mm-hmm. other thing out that connects to that stuff. We're still mapping the brain in 2025, right. And that's amazing to me.
And the fact that we are now starting to tackle the mountain of mental health, you know, mm-hmm. like to discover more about the brain, to understand why we have so much struggle with mental health in this society, in this world right now, with where we're at. These kind of things are going to help with that. Because guess what? Your brain sabotages you
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Brain does a lot of stuff, yeah.
It does a lot of stuff that we could control if we knew how to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might disagree with you that on a little bit. I don't know if we could control it. Mm. Honestly,
I can turn off tickling. Why can't I turn off depression?
Because you're a sum of every experience that you've ever had to this point.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean that you necessarily are making free will decisions. Not to get too heavy.
Okay.
I like it. That's my wheelhouse.
I've been reading a lot about this recently. You can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though.
But the fact that my brain can go, okay, you know what? You're just going to have a really bad day today because of these unexpected things that happened to you. And then, but there's got to be a way that I can overcome that. right?
Right.
Not necessarily.
So I'm just going to have a bad day?
I don't know. It depends on everything that's happened to you before. It's determined by everything that's come before it. That's the thing.
All right.
That's Seth, the dilemma.
Let's talk off air because I have words that I can't say on air.
It's an interesting one, and I look forward to let me just get my popcorn.
So I'm just, yeah, there you go. Watch. Yeah.
I will say.
Better than the movies.
I don't disagree with you, though, okay. Seth. I don't. Right. I'm not like straight up disagreeing with you, but it's an interesting conversation to have, and I think it's something we should talk more about.
I agree.
As a community, as a society.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also you and I.
While there are some things uncertain about this topic and everything, one thing I am certain of, if I went to school and became a scientist, there are few people in the world that would be more proud of me than my mother. And when I went to her and I told her, I'm going to work today. Where are you working? Tickle lab? Just the look on her face.
Yeah.
I went to school for 8 years or something. Yeah. And I studied the brain.
Going to the tickle lab.
I'm going to the tickle lab. I just could imagine the look on her face. We'll take a time out. We'll come back with more morning show. You say. It is time for us to say goodbye, everybody. Just for today, we'll be back at it tomorrow from 9 to 11. Seth and I will be hanging out with you. Terry Johns will be with us on Friday. Looking forward to it. It's been a really fun week already. Big thank you to all of you out there for listening, spreading the word about the show. Of course, our callers, our winners, our texters, and our sponsors. We greatly appreciate each and every one of
you. We
do. Let's get into our schedule a little bit here and some good things going on in our community. First up, the Rapids Report. Got new episodes, episodes premiering for you on WFHR.com about 2 o'clock today. We will talk with Aaron Hess from the Southwick County YMCA.
Nice. Always fun.
Always. Oh, I love talking to Aaron. Mm-hmm. Aaron's so much fun to talk to. She's so easy to talk to. It's great.
Great information, too, about, I'm sure, a lot of upcoming events.
Mm-hmm.
And in our second episode today, we are going to talk to our friends from Encourage. Kim is out of town, so we have Linda Schillen with us.
Nice.
Shout out to Kim, but it's always fun talking with Linda. Mm-hmm. And Linda is bringing in Heather Sayers. Heather Sayers.
I don't know.
Why does that
name
sound familiar?
It does sound kind of familiar.
Heather, for years, joined us on our morning show here to give us updates from the Wisconsin Rapid City Times.
That's right.
And then she would end up working here for a while.
Yep.
And then she's over at WRC. CT and doing such amazing things in Nakusa. So Heather's familiar with our stomping grounds around here. Looking forward to Linda and Heather joining us in a little bit. That's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate them joining us. Of course, you keep on joining us and listening. In just a little bit, we'll have that 11 o'clock Civic Media Scani Summer to Text Win contest word for you.
Yes.
And then at 2 and 4 o'clock today on WFHR and WIRI.
All the chances to enter to win those great grand prizes and possible hourly prizes, too.
That's right.
No Rafter baseball today. Boys this summer have a day off.
They have an off day.
They probably earned it.
That was a messed up the schedule. No, I'm just kidding.
three game winning streak right now. Good time to go into that break. Yeah. They'll be back at it tomorrow over at in Wausau, taking on the Wausau Woodchucks at 6:20 on Thursday. Also Thursday at 6:50, Assumption Girls Soccer hosting Aquinas at my stomping grounds of Washington Field.
Yep, that's right.
Mike and Seth going to have that one for you. We will be talking about that on Playmakers today from 4 to 5 over on 105.5 WIRI. Looking forward to it. Going to be fun. Be sure to join us for Playmakers today, everybody. And join us over at McMillan, they wrap that up. So join us at the zoo today for the United Way's Great Book Giveaway.
Yes.
James is going to be reading.
Yeah, down there. They got some great regulars to go that have been going there a lot longer than I have that'll be down there too, reading to the kids. And afterwards, the kids are going to get to pick up a free book.
Yep.
That's great.
Free books are awesome.
Join us over at the wonderful Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo today at 1:30 for this wonderful event, and find out more at uwswac.org. Shout out to everybody who donated books, all the volunteers, certainly all you readers out there. We appreciate you and appreciate everybody bringing the kids on down. We'll be talking more about the zoo tomorrow. They got that forest whales exhibit coming up in Helen's Zoo House and a bunch of other stuff. Oh, I can't wait.
Fantastic stuff, yes.
Melissa, it is a Wednesday. We know what that means.
B-I-
N.
G.
O.
Hey! Bingo!
Spells bingo.
That was fantastic.
I'm told.
It says here. Yeah. We did not plan that.
Bingo, obviously. Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. It's at 6:30. Doors open at 5. Make sure that you bring your trolls. Or your lucky goats, you know, whatever
whatever lucky charms you got.
Yeah, or little dog figurines, whatever makes you feel lucky. More confident and lucky at bingo.
You're feeling lucky.
This is at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, 430 West Jackson Street. It's such a good time down there. They always have it. It's a huge, packed crowd, so get there early. Mm-hmm. Again, doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Going to be a good time. And Seth, you got something. Or wait a minute, no, you had something else, didn't you?
I do. Tomorrow. Yeah. Is it tomorrow? What's the date?
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. The Lunch by the River is from 11:30 to 1 down at Veterans Park. This week, the sponsor is Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. The entertainment is Rapids? Whoa. Rapids School of Performing Arts. So you're going to have great entertainment. There's great food. Bring some cash just in case the food vendors don't take credit cards.
That's always a good idea. That's a good note.
But you're going to have a good time. Bring a chair if you don't want to sit on the grass. And enjoy the performance. Enjoy a beautiful view and lunch by the river.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know what else is happening tomorrow, everyone? Mm-hmm. It's the opening of the Downtown Farmers Market in Wisconsin Rapids. It is back, everyone, from 8 to 1 tomorrow, and it's every Thursday and Saturday throughout the rest of the summer. In fact, through October 11th, everyone. Yeah. It's along the beautiful Wisconsin River on First Avenue South, so head on down there and check out their wares. It's, again, bring cash.
Well, I'm going to remind you to do that. So they do have an option, though, to get tokens or to get coupons or whatever it is with their debit card thing, because they also do that with the
does the chamber do that?
I think it's either the chamber or the Wood County Health Department. The fruits and veggies thing. They
EBT.
So there are options there with that. I think there's a small charge to get the coupons with your debit card, though.
That's fantastic. And while you're in that area anyway, everyone stop on by the Moravian Church. Our book bin is out. We are collecting books for the book sale.
I will bring them by.
I'm going to remind you every week, Melissa. Every week until September 15th, I will let you know to bring your books to 310 First Avenue South, which is just off of Goggins, by the glass doors. And, of course, the book sale will be taking place October 9th through the 11th, like it does every year.
A family in France found a small sculpture that they'd been keeping next to their family photos, and it turned out to be worth a small fortune.
Whoa.
Really?
They thought it was a reproduction of a Rodin, but it was the real deal. It was a real Rodin.
A Rodin?
Yeah.
A
sculpture? Oh, my gosh.
It's from the early 1890s and just sold at auction for over $984,000.
As it would. Wow, that's amazing.
You know, that's my secret wish. Is there something? Because I had a bottle collection for quite a long time. I got rid of most of them, but I kept the ones that I thought maybe, you know, there's nothing worth thousands, but maybe.
Maybe a couple bucks.
Yeah. It's not something I'm going to retire on, though.
I think those are some of my favorite stories, like just of those random things. I like those much more than the people that just randomly won on the lottery. I mean, more power to them. That's cool.
But something that was passed down in the family that you just didn't know. And
that's kind
of
cool.
It didn't get broken by kids or grandkids.
How that stuff. I also want to know the follow up to that. To me, is how did they get it? How did they get to
where
did
it come from? Yeah,
so I got to know that story. That seems like a really interesting one. And there's a lot of other good stories of the day out there, and we encourage you to be that good story, everybody, and share your good stories with us. Yeah. Maybe they'll be featured in the WFHR newsletter.
We love to do that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And speaking of, make sure to get to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. We'll have a new edition for you tomorrow. Great show today, you two.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.